Shall we read together from James chapter 4? We read the verses 1 through 12. That is James chapter 4, 1 through 12. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So far. Pilgrim's Progress, Part 2. So we've seen so far that Christiana was under impressions that she also had to leave the city of destruction, and she receives then this this invitation, this document, and so she's ready to pack up her things together with her four sons, Matthew, James, Samuel, and Joseph. And then a neighbor, Lady Mercy, a young girl, also wants to come along. But as they are intending to leave the city of destruction, they are mocked by Mrs. Timorous and by Mrs. Bat's Eyes, who complains that those who want to go on pilgrimage don't see really what's going on. While she is Mrs. Bat's Eyes, there's also Mrs. Know-Nothing and Mrs. Inconsiderate. And then you have Mrs. Light Mind, and they mock Christiana as she wants to leave the city. And they get together, foolish ladies come together, and they talk about the nice time they had with Mr. Leechery and Mrs. Filth and Mrs. Wanton and Mrs. Love the Flesh. So it's amazing how John Bunyan imagines all these names to denote the sins of the world. So, but in the meantime, Christiana is convinced to continue on to the celestial city. And she encourages Mercy to come along. And she says, well, Mercy, you can come along. Yeah, but I don't have a special invitation, but you're still welcome. I believe the king is so full of love and kindness that he will not reject you. And Christiana tells her, if you want to come along, then I know where you will finally end up, in the heavenly city. And my husband is there now, and he would not want to change that place for all the gold of Spain. So Mercy wants to come along. But as I said, she is concerned that she has not received an invitation of the king, like Christiana has received an invitation. But she says, come along, because the king is very compassionate. He delights in mercy. And come along to the narrow gate. As we enter in, I will intercede for you, and then you will also be allowed to come in. And mercy decides to come along. And she says, I will receive whatever the Lord gives me. Christiana was glad that she had someone to accompany her, and she was glad that this girl was willing to come, and that she also desired and loved her salvation. We see herein how John Bunyan again displays how Christians don't go through life alone, but that the Lord often supplies someone in the area who is of support. They can be of mutual support to each other. And that's what Bunyan wanted to portray in the fact that mercy comes along. And so they went on. They started off leaving the city. And after a while, Mercy started to cry, because she thought about all her relatives who stayed behind in the city of destruction. And Christiana comforts her and tells her, yes, that you cry is understandable, because pilgrims have bowels of mercy. They have feelings of compassion for those who are still lost. And Christiane explains that my husband also once had great sorrow for me, because I resisted him as he wanted to leave the city, and he indeed left the city of destruction. And I was opposed to him, and he had great sorrow for me and for our children that we did not want to go along with him. Well, may it be like this, that also your tears, just like the tears of my husband, were a blessing to me. Let your tears be a blessing to your relatives who are still there in the city of destruction. I know that the tears of my husband, his prayers also, were a means to work out my repentance and salvation. And that can also be the case with you. So pray for your relatives. And also realize, Mercy, that as you continue on, Psalm 126 tells us that those who walk on, and they're carrying this precious seed, and they are sowing that seed as they are weeping, that they shall bring in their sheaves with joy. And so they accompany each other, and they come to the Slough of Despond. And in the meantime, the king of the celestial city has sent out his laborers to fill up this Slough of Despond with rocks and stones. But in the meantime, those servants have put in dung and mud. They have not done what they should have done. And that's why the Slough of Despond is still full of mud, and it's still dangerous. And so when Mercy and Christiana approach then the Slough of Despond, Christiana hesitates. She says, my husband had a big struggle here, and she is reluctant to carry on. She knows she must, but she's not eager to do so. And then Mercy comforts her. Mercy lifts her up and says, yes, but we must go on. Let's look at the rocks. There are rocks in the mud that we can lean upon. Those are the rocks, the stones of God's promises. And so come, let us venture, and only let us be wary, careful. And let's do that. So Mercy encourages Christiana. And so Mercy leads now, and they are going through the Slough of Despond, and a few times Christiana had nearly slipped out away in the mud, but Mercy led her and the four boys through this Slough of Despond. And when she came to the other side, she heard, as it were, a voice saying to her, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's an encouraging word for Mercy, because she believed, she trusted in the promises of the Lord. And so she was encouraged that she would be blessed, she would receive the things told her. And so they went on. Christiana and Mercy. And Mercy says to Christiana, "Well, I hope I will be accepted at the narrow gate, at the wicked gate, because and if I had indeed trusted that that I could enter in, I would. There would be, if I have trust that I can be entered in, there's no slough of despond that would ever harass me or keep me away." And Christiana answers her, "We both have our afflictions and tribulations, and still we may carry on because we may know that through these tribulations, the greatest joy will be revealed to us. And we'll have to go through more struggles and fears, but what does this mean if we are on our way to the celestial city?" And so they walked on until they came to the narrow gate. The narrow gate was closed, and they knew they had to knock so that the door would be opened unto them. And because Christiana was the oldest, she would be the first one to knock. And she knocked, and she knocked again upon the door, but the door was not opened. Instead, they heard a great dog, a dangerous dog, a mastiff, barking, growling loudly. And both women and the children were afraid. They were afraid that the dog would fall upon them. And they didn't dare knock anymore. They were afraid that the dog would attack them. But they didn't dare go back either, go back home, turn around. No, they couldn't do that because the keeper of the gate would see them retreating. And they didn't want that. And finally, Christiana, she started to knock again. And then the keeper of the gate cried out, "Who is there?" And the dog stopped barking, and the gate was opened. Christiana bowed herself lowly and said, "Don't be offended that I knocked so loudly." But the keeper of the gate said, "Where are you coming from, and what can I do for you?" Christiana introduced herself that she is the wife of Christian, who is now in the celestial city. And the keeper of the gate was glad and said, "How beautiful that you are here, that you, who first did not want to go on pilgrimage at all, that you have now come on pilgrimage. You have become a pilgrim." Christiana answered him, "Yes, I have, and these four boys are with me as well." So the keeper of the gate took them by the hand and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And then he closed the gate again. Then he called a trumpeter who was above the gate, and he had to blow the trumpet, a joyful sound, because Christiane and her four sons had entered in. But in the meantime, Mercy was still outside the gate, and she feared that there would be no entrance for her. And at the same time, Christiana inside the gate started to intercede for Mercy. And she said, "My Lord, there's someone with me who also would like to enter in. She has not received an invitation from the king, but I've told her that she would surely be welcome." In the meantime, Mercy became very impatient, and every minute staying outside the gate seemed to her to have been an hour. And then she started to knock very loudly, and she knocked so loudly that Christiana stopped talking. And was shocked by that hard knocking. And then the keeper of the gate said, "Who is there?" And then Christiana said, "That's my friend." And he opened the gate. But in the meantime, Mercy had fainted. And she had fallen down. She was so afraid that the gate would remain closed to her. And then the keeper of the gate took her by the hand and said, "Damsel, I bid thee arise." And then she spoke, "There's hardly any life in me. My soul was nearly perished within me when I thought about the Lord." But the keeper of the gate said, "Do not be afraid, but stand upon your feet and tell me wherefore you have come." And Mercy answered, "I've come here, although I have not received a personal invitation. And that's why I fear that I just imagine that I would be welcome." And then the keeper of the gate took her gently by the hand and said, "I pray for all those who believe in me, regardless in which manner they come to me." And he called to those who stood thereby and said, "Well, give something, a bundle of myrrh, that she may smell that she may be revived." And so they gave that to Mercy, and she revived and became lively again. And now Christiana and Mercy and the boys were welcomed, and they fell down, and they said, "We are sorry because of our sins, and we beg thee for forgiveness." And then he answered, "I grant you forgiveness with my word and with the deed, by the word of my promise and by the deed, my acts, whereby I merited a full reconciliation." We understand that the keeper of the gate is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so Christiane and Mercy and the four boys were welcomed, and they were taken to be on top of the gate, and from there they could see whereby they were saved, because in the distance they saw Christ and him crucified. And that sight upon Christ and him crucified would continue on during their pilgrimage. They would continually see more and more of Christ crucified. Isn't that a beautiful depiction of spiritual life, that initially one can see in the distance something of Christ and him crucified? But the more the Lord has dealings with the soul, the stronger that impression will come. And so the Lord let them to be alone for a while, that they could speak about what they had experienced. And Christiana wondered why this that terrible dog is there. And so Mercy thought that she would be cast out, because it's written that two women were at the mill, and one was accepted and the other was forsaken. And I cried out, "Lost, I'm lost, I'm lost forever, and I will never be able to enter in." And then I looked up at the gate and I said, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And then I thought, I must knock, and I knocked as loud as I can. I don't know how I did it, but I knocked with all the might I had. And then Christiana answered her, "Well, that you have taken the kingdom of heaven with violence." And Mercy asked, what did the Lord say when I knocked so loudly? "Oh," Christiana answered, "I saw a smile upon his face." And then the Lord came back, and then Mercy fell down upon her face before the Lord and says, "Lord, thou art righteous and just, but please let me speak to thee of thy judgments. Why dost thou keep that terrible dog so close by the gate, so that women and children have mortal fears?" And he answered and said, "Did you see the dog?" "No, I didn't really see the dog." "You heard the dog, right?" "Yes, I heard the dog." "You see, that dog is not mine. It belongs to someone else. That dog is sent by the lord of the castle in the distance, and he tries to stop pilgrims of entering into the narrow gate. He wants to keep pilgrims away from the narrow gate. That's why he sends this dog. The dog cannot reach them, but it's only the barking they hear and the growling they hear." But the Lord said, "I support the pilgrims so that they will not be given up to the power of the dog. And remember, in spite of barking and growling, a true Christian shall keep on knocking. He can't take no for an answer. Think, for instance, of beggars. Beggars, they need to eat. They need food, and so they knock on doors, even though they may hear dogs barking and growling. They still knock because they risk that danger because they need food. Well, how much more should a Christian not continue to knock on the door of grace? And then Mercy bows herself down in adoration. And she confesses her ignorance. And she said, I spoke about what I did not understand. But I do recognize that thou dost do all things well. After that, the Lord washed their feet, gave them to eat, and placed them upon the way that Christian had earlier traversed. And so they continued on their pilgrimage. And as they walked on, they came alongside a big wall, and over the wall there were branches hanging. That garden on the other side of the wall belonged to the lord of the castle. And those branches had grown over the wall, and there was fruit upon those branches. And the boys took of that fruit. And the mother said they shouldn't do that. And some boys didn't do it. But one boy wanted to keep on doing it. That was Matthew. And he also ate of that fruit. And his mother said, you shouldn't do that. Well, it tastes good. I'll take those fruit, but they don't belong to you. And the other boys didn't pursue this any further. But Matthew said, well, they are there, and they taste well. So he ate them. But what Christianity didn't know was that these trees belonged to the enemy, and that these fruits were actually poisonous. And if she would have known what those fruits could work out in life, she would have had great fear. And later on in the pilgrimage, they will be confronted with the result that Matthew ate these fruits. And in the meantime, they just carry on their pilgrimage, and then they see two ill-favored ones, two mean men. They approach them. And those two bad men, they said, we don't want your money, and we don't want to kill you, but we want you as women. And Christiane and Mercy realized what they meant, and they cried out, and they shouted, cried, murder, murder. But the men came closer to them, and they cried louder for help, and then a man came from the gate who heard their cries for help. This man was called Reliever. And he saw both those men and said, what are you doing here with these women? And the two men ran away. They climbed over the wall and ended up in the garden of the lord of the castle, the owner of that terrible dog. And so Reliever said to both women, you should have asked for a conductor because you have come across danger. But there will be more dangers along your way. You should have asked the Lord for a conductor, for a protector to lead you. And Christiana says, yes, that would have been very good. But why did the Lord not send someone along with us without us asking? Well, Reliever said, if the Lord would have given you a protector without you asking it, you would not have appreciated and valued him. Because you have not, because you ask not. Well, shall we then go back, says Christiana, and shall we still ask if we can have such a protector to come along with us on the journey? No, no, said Reliever, that will not be necessary, but I will explain your foolishness and your regrets to the Lord, and he will take care of you. And then Mercy wept because of her foolishness, that she had not asked for a protector. And Christiana confessed her sin, that she thought it's easy on pilgrimage. And she also confessed that she had indeed had a dream in which she saw those two ill-favored men coming towards her, and they stood around her bed. And then she woke up and those men were no longer there. And she knew that they were bent upon her destruction. And that's why she said, I should have asked for a protector, for someone to help us. And so they walked on until they reached a house. And that was the house of Mr. Interpreter. That's where Christian had also been. And when they stood at the door, they heard people talking inside. And they even heard the name Christiana mentioned by those who were inside. And then Christiana Mercy knocked on the door. A little girl opened up. Her name was Innocent. And she saw both women and the four boys. And she asked, how can I help you? Who do you want to see? They said, we understand that we can stay here. We are pilgrims. Well, what's your name? My name is Christiana. I'm the wife of Christian. And I have my four children with me. And then Innocent ran inside and said, Christiana and her children are really here. There was great joy in that house. And they called for the master of the house. And he came to the door and he said, are you indeed Christiana? Yes, I used to be very foolish. And I was harsh to my husband to cast away his invitation to come along with him on pilgrimage. But now I have come. And so today the word is fulfilled. What we read in Matthew 21 verse 29, that a man had two sons. And he said to the first one, son, go and work in the vineyard. But he answered and said, I will not come. I will not do that. And then he had sorrow and regret and he went into the vineyard. And that's fulfilled in my life, says Christiana. And then Mr. Interpreter invited Christiana to come inside. Come in, you daughter of Abraham. We heard that you had become a pilgrim. Come in, children. Come in, Mercy, you girl. And they were all in the house, and there they were taken care of. And the servants there, they stroked the faces of the boys. And these servants had a smile upon their face. They were welcomed in the house of Interpreter. Well, beloved, here we see how Christiana and Mercy are going on pilgrimage with the four boys. And what can we learn from this? What did Bunyan want to tell us? What did Bunyan want to instruct us from this all? It's already very interesting and very noteworthy that the Lord has different ways how he converts sinners, how he draws a person unto himself. The one receives to his own estimation a personal invitation, and the other does not have to his own estimation a personal invitation. But the other one is drawn by a desire, by a longing. Well, the other may have greater convictions and a greater awareness of an internal calling in his heart. Well, the other may think that he has not experienced that. But they are irresistibly in a subconscious level, they are drawn. They need the Lord. And Mercy heard the encouragement that Christiana gave her, and she believed the word of promise. And based on that word of promise, she went on pilgrimage. And she also believed the word, knock and it shall be opened unto you. She was very afraid that she had deceived herself. She was afraid that she would be left outside. And so there can be fears in one's life. There can be trembling in the heart of a person who in all sincerity seeks the Lord, but thinks that it's not applicable to him or to her. But it's precisely through those fears that a person becomes serious to knock even more and to ask even more, for they realize they need the Lord and they long for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see in mercy is that the drawing love of the Lord Jesus was at work in her life. And therefore, when you go through afflictions, tribulations, when you are going through doubt and temptation, when you consider yourself to be a poor, doubting Christian, although you may not even dare to say that name of yourself, Christian, but realize there's a word of promise and there's the drawing love of the Lord. There are no conditions to fulfill. The Lord Jesus has fulfilled all the conditions. You are welcome, whoever you are. Desire him and call out for him. For he says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because especially when God's redemption comes close to you, it's then that the evil one who realizes that redemption is coming, that he pounces upon you and tries to distort you and tries to keep you away from Christ. It's the prince of darkness assaulting you and trying to draw you away from the Lord Jesus. And at a certain moment, mercy thought that everything was lost. And yet, faith cannot stop knocking. Maybe you felt that at a time, that you thought everything was lost. And what did you do? You couldn't stop asking. You couldn't stop knocking. And that's what mercy did. And then she falls down. She faints in a swoon, Bunyan writes. She is helplessly fleeing to God. And then the Lord took her by the hand and lifted her up, renewed her strength, and showed her his loving kindness. She was very afraid of that word of Scripture, that two women are at the mill. One was accepted and the other was left behind. And that's how the prince of darkness uses Scripture words to try to undo the drawing power of Christ in one's life. Because the prince of darkness, he wrests the words of Christ out of the context. How necessary it is, therefore, to read Scripture carefully, to be at home in Scripture. And still, mercy had done so. She knew the words of Scripture, and she still had faith on the promises of God. We see that very clearly when they came to the Slough of Despond. Then Christiana was wavering, but mercy, she felt carefully with her feet through the mud, if there were those rocks were. And then she led Christiana and her four sons through the Slough of Despond, because she rested on the promises of God. That was her anchor. That was her foundation. And the result was that when she came through that slough, that the word of the Lord came with power to her. That blessed is she that believes, for the word spoken to her shall be fulfilled. And so the Lord can bring us into difficulties, into struggles, that we feel him not and see him not, and yet that we trust. And we are called to trust upon the naked word of God. I hope in his word. I trust in his word. or I try to trust in his word. But that's what you plead upon. That's your hope, your expectation. And it's through the tribulations that faith is strengthened. Because spiritual life worked by the Lord can never stop. It will carry on. Also, Bunyan points out to us those laborers who were called to put rocks and stones into that slough. What they did, they put in dirt and dung. And what's Bunyan saying with this? He's pointing out to the reality that there is false preaching. That there's preaching where the truth of God's salvation is not clearly portrayed. And that people are thrust back upon themselves, upon their feelings, upon their experiences, instead of leaning upon the sure promises of God, upon the rock of salvation. No, there's preaching that casts a person back upon himself. And if in the preaching all kinds of conditions are meted out that we first have to fulfill before we can look to Christ, then you are in a slough of despond without rocks, but just with dung and dirt. You sink away. Then the gospel is clouded and darkened. And that's not according to the meaning of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Bunyan was pointing out to us. He had experienced that himself. And then they came to the narrow gate, and how glorious it was to be received by the Lord of the narrow gate, by the Lord Jesus himself. People who have no right to receive anything. He knows their weakness, and he saves them repeatedly. And when he heard that knocking, and when he heard that hard, that loud knocking, a smile came upon his face, because he hears the knocking. Mercy didn't see that smile. Christiana did. She stood close to the Lord, but Mercy didn't see it. And when you are loudly knocking on that door, you don't see the smile on the face of the Lord Jesus, who sees you praying and pleading and looking to him. But he rejoices in that when sinners flee to him. He rejoices to hear the cries of the needy when they flee to him. It can also be that by certain guidance of the Lord that you experience a very strong call in your life. But it can be that you did not experience such a strong call of the Lord. But what you do see is that the word of the Lord is true, and that I need the Lord. And so in his word, the Lord invites all to come to him, and that you may also come, pleading, leaning upon the sure promises of God. And you know the inscription above the narrow gate, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. And therefore none of us should despair, even if there's no answer to your estimation, but plead and lean upon his word. It will be opened unto you. Here we also see how powerful faith is, because faith that breaks through every opposition. By faith, impossibilities are overcome. When Christiana is wavering, then it's mercy, leaning upon the stones of the promises of God. But faith perseveres. And at the narrow gate, the same thing. Faith perseveres. She cannot stop. Even when the gate is shut, in the face of mercy. And still, she knocks again. And even if she's afraid of being attacked by that wild dog, she starts to knock even louder. She must enter in. And don't you ever have it? That when you want to sit down and you want to seek the Lord, that all kinds of strange thoughts penetrate your mind, that all kinds of distracting emotions come up within you. That's what Christiana went, that's what Mercy went through. Those are the tribulations and the assaults. Because the prince of darkness wants to keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially those who are concerned about their salvation. He wants to take their thoughts away. He wants to discourage them. He wants to distract them. And sometimes they have to go through fears, literally fears. And they wonder, what am I afraid of? They can't explain it. That happens in spiritual life. Fears. They're so afraid, they don't know of what. And they're shaken to and fro. That happens. In personal life, we don't speak about those things. But it's a prince of darkness trying to harass you, to keep you away from the Lord, to cause you to stop praying. Whatever you do, stop praying. Because that's what the devil doesn't like. Because you're praying to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He is all powerful, omnipotent. And the devil does not know what the Lord will do and how He will hear, but he doesn't. The devil does know the Lord will hear, so he wants you to stop praying. And then there's a temptation to give up. There's a temptation to stop praying. But faith will persevere. And will remain to knock at the door. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He is a coward. And draw nigh to the Lord, and He will draw nigh to you. For with the Lord there is deliverance. God's Spirit awakens faith. And He encourages and strengthens faith. So that people remain to hope upon the living God. They continue doing that. We see that Bunyan is very pastoral. How many are there not who you are struggling with the appropriation of salvation? How many are there who don't dare say that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? And they are staying at a distance from Him. But remain hoping upon the Lord. Lay your heart down before the Lord. That's what Bunyan wants to encourage you to do. Not to stay short of Christ. And see how loving Christiana was. And what care she had for Mercy. First she had encouraged Mercy to accompany her. Because she knew how loving the King was. And she spoke well about the King. And when she came inside the narrow gate, then she starts to intercede with the Lord for Mercy, who is still in front of the gate. And here we see how real and how necessary intercession is for one another, to pray for one another, for the Lord to intervene in lives of loved ones. The Lord is willing to hear. We should pray for one another. That's what Bunyan wants to urge us to do here. And how good it is to speak well of the Lord, like Christiana had done to Mercy, because He is a good master. Speak well of the Lord. You don't have to speak about yourself. Maybe you have nothing to say about yourself. But speak well of the Lord, for He is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He gave His Son. And that's what we may witness also to others. And then they went inside the narrow gate. They went up on the top of the narrow gate, and there they saw the Lord Jesus in the distance, still in the distance. But that gave them already much comfort. And Bunyan is saying that they will, at the beginning of spiritual life, they will see the Lord Jesus. And as they increase, as I just mentioned, they will learn to look more and more unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. But now already they have peace through the blood of Christ. And then as they continue on their journey, it's noteworthy that they come into difficulties. And that's because they have no protector, no one to help them, to conduct them. And they were told they should have asked for that. Because you didn't ask, you didn't receive. And there we see again that we are inclined not to ask too much, but to ask too little. And so let our needs be made known to the Lord, that you need a conductor, that you need a Lord protector to watch over you, that you need God's Spirit to guide you, to lead you into all truth. Because how can we stand against enemies upon our way, like those two ill-favored men who wanted to hurt Mercy and Christiana? They couldn't stand up against them on their own. We cannot stand up against temptations and against afflictions. We don't have that power in ourselves. Therefore, we need the Lord to invigorate us. And Christiana knew that she actually needed help, but they just went on pilgrimage without realizing that they needed help and without asking for help. And so it can be that the Lord uncovers a person's spiritual life to the need that he has. And you see how weak you are. Sometimes you have to stumble first because we are hard of learning. But then the Lord shows us that we need him and we need his continual help. And so you pray to the Lord for strength in all our personal, specific situations. We are all unique. We all have our own specific situations, struggles to go through. Another may not understand that. But the Lord understands your plight. He understands the way you must go. And he's willing to be your reliever, your protector. Ask, and you shall receive. And he will unite your heart to the fear of his name. He will invigorate you and strengthen you. But let us not be presumptuous, thinking that we can handle it on our own, because we can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a blessing to flee helplessly to the Lord. Be thou my Redeemer. Make haste, O my God, to the rescue, I pray. That's needed in spiritual life. Because there are many temptations. The world tempts. And the prince of darkness goes around as a roaring lion. And our heart is inclined to go against the Lord. And so we have a threefold enemy, the world, the devil, our own heart. And so we need to pray for strength, for grace, for guidance, that our faith would not cease. And that's why Paul says, with all prayer and supplication, not praying so now and then, but with all prayer and supplication, that's what we need. And without the Lord, we will stumble. We will stumble. And so we may look to the mercies of the Lord, that when a child of God is in distress, he cries out to the Lord will deliver, because the Lord saves the needy. And then we see those boys of Christiana who are at work picking, plucking those fruits. They don't realize that those fruits come from the evil one. They just look at the fruits and they're hanging over the wall. They know the tree doesn't grow here on their pilgrim's path. It grows on the other side of the wall. But they think it's still nice. They can still take it. It tastes good. And so they pluck these fruits who are of the enemy. And those fruits, what are they? They are real. They are the temptations of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are things that harass us. We all are confronted with these things. And these fruits, they grow in the garden of the devil, of Beelzebub. Later on, Matthew will get sick. And he will be told that he nearly died. Because the sins of the world, they lead to death. It's death. And so we should not let our young people just do what they want. Because before you know it, they will be poisoned. With love and with earnestness, we must watch over them. And then Mercy and Christiana and the four boys arrive at the house of Interpreter. They are welcomed. And that's how it is in spiritual life. That the Lord arranges that there's someone who will lead God's children further. A minister or a friend or a wise elder or what have you. John Bunyan himself had that. He went to Mr. Gifford. Mr. Gifford, he led John Bunyan further into the truth. And that's a picture of Interpreter. And so there they will be encouraged, they will be admonished, they will be comforted, and they already knew that Christiana was on her way. Because in heaven they know the ones who are struggling here below. The Lord knows those who are crying out to him. Does heaven also know you? Because you need him. And because you are crying out for him. Remember, you are most welcome with him. And you will also then receive instruction, just like Christiana shall receive it. And that's what we hope to see the next time.